Wind farms are a key part of the state's ambitious green energy goals. Four projects in operation are asking to amend their permits and raise the cap on how many native bats and birds it's allowed to kill as part of an incidental take. Just this month, Oahu's wind farm, Kawailoa Wind, announced plans to work with a new acoustic system aimed to reduce the casualties of endangered species. It comes as the public is being asked to weigh in on a draft environmental impact statement affecting four wind farms across the state. Michelle Bogardis is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the team manager for Maui and Hawaii Island. She lays out the changes to the draft conservation plan.
So the Fish and Wildlife Service is doing this environmental assessment to evaluate these four permit actions. We received four different permit applications from four different wind farms across the state of Hawaii, and they are seeking incidental take of endangered species. Our job is to evaluate and ensure that the plans that they've put together adequately avoid, minimize, and mitigate impacts to those endangered species.
Okay, and what are the species that we're talking about here?
We're talking about the Hawaiian hoary bat, Opeapea, the Hawaiian petrel, Uwa'u, and the Hawaiian goose, Nene.
And so when these applications first came in, they did get permits, correct?
Three of them did. So the one wind farm on Oahu and two of the wind farms on Maui had originally received incidental take permits around 6 years ago. But at the time, there was very little known about the presence of those endangered species within the area of the wind farm. And now we have updated information about the presence of those endangered species and the rate at which they are impacted.
So what can you tell us about that?
So in each case of those three wind farms, they have been doing a very high level of monitoring at and around their wind farm site under their existing incidental take permit and habitat conservation plan. Those plans worked. They recognized the fact that there was a higher rate of impact than what was anticipated, and because of that, they are now having to come back in and amend their take request.
So basically, we've had a higher kill rate than anyone anticipated.
That's correct.
And so how are you working through this process? We've got the meetings this week on various islands. Are you going to be focusing on each particular project as you go island from island?
A little bit. So last year, last June, we went around to all the different islands and held public meetings and asked the public for their input on what things we should be evaluating as we proceeded on this process. This time around, we're actually providing the public with our draft analysis for what this looks like for each of the four different wind farms, and asking whether or not the public thinks that we adequately considered everything and did a good job on our analysis. So we, for each meeting, we're doing one on the island of Oahu on Tuesday, we're doing one on Maui on Wednesday, and we're doing one on Hawaii Island on Thursday. And in each case, we'll be talking to the public about the wind farms that occur on that island, as well as all four of them combined. So for Oahu, the wind farm is Kawailoa Wind Farm. They are on the North Shore. It's the one that's pretty close to Haleiwa Town. And they received a permit, I want to say in 2011, from us that addressed the take of all the endangered species that they thought they had the potential to take. At the time, we knew very little about Hawaiian hoary bats, Opeapea, on the island of Oahu. But over the last 5 years, we've learned a lot more. And they have been doing very rigorous monitoring on their site as a condition of their existing permit. In doing that monitoring, they found a higher rate of impact than what had been analyzed in their original permit, and so have been working with us for the last 3 years to put together a plan for how are they going to do that moving forward.
So what were the numbers on the original permit?
So the original amount for Kawailoa Wind Farm was 60 Hawaiian hoary bats. But they also had take of other endangered species as well. At this point, based on their current rate of take and the work that they've been doing, they are coming in and seeking an amendment to that permit to increase their take for Hawaiian hoary bats by an additional 205.
Oh, from 60 to 205.
We've heard a couple different concerns from the community, and part of that came from our scoping process last fall, as well as continued engagement with different communities across the islands. One of the concerns that we hear is whether or not this increase in take could result in impacts to the species at a population level. And another concern that we often hear is that bats opeopaea are considered to be amakua from some families. And so working through both of those issues and evaluating the impacts to them is part of what this process is designed to do. And we have done our best to analyze that in the draft NEPA document. At this point, we're asking the public to take a look at the analysis that we've put together and provide us any comments that they might have on how we put together that analysis and whether there's any additional information that we should be considering.
I guess if you're out and about, you know, maybe you'll see some hoary bats, but do we know enough about the species? I mean, I think 60 bats is a lot, but, you know, more than 200. Do we know what the count is out in the wild?
Well, so interestingly enough, we don't have a lot of information about bat abundance for any species of bats across the country. Bats are cryptic by nature. And we have relatively archaic tools on how to actually monitor them. Mostly we use things that will tell us whether they're in the area, acoustic sound. We don't have a way of actually saying that there are X number of bats in any given place. But that's true for all bat species, particularly solitary bats like the Hawaiian hoary bat is. What we do know about the species, though, is that they are widely distributed. They're occurring on all of the main Hawaiian islands. They're breeding on all of the main Hawaiian islands. They seem to be very dispersed into all range of habitats. And overall, it seems like they're doing pretty well. Even though this level of take seems like a lot, it is actually only, it varies by island, but somewhere between 5 and 11 bats per year. Per island. And so the question that we are evaluating in our NEPA documents is whether or not the population can withstand that level of impact and whether or not the plans that these wind farms have put together are adequately offsetting the impact that they are having.
There was an article in the newspaper here in Honolulu about something new that the wind farm was trying in order to reduce the take.
Correct. So for each one of these wind farms, they are required under this permitting process to avoid whatever take they can, minimize that take that cannot be avoided, and to offset whatever impact still remains. That's part of their requirements for them getting this permit. So if there is technology available out there to help them to either avoid or minimize the take from occurring in the first place, they are required to do that, and we work with them to ensure that they're using the best available science to make that happen. Deterrent technology is still being worked out on the mainland, and in some cases it's being really effective, in other cases it hasn't been as effective. It's not been tried in the Hawaiian Islands before. And we're not exactly sure what level of efficacy it will have for Hawaiian hoary bats. But as soon as it is commercially available, most of the wind farms are going to be installing them, and we'll be testing to see how effective they are at avoiding the take in the first place.
Okay. And then what about the remaining wind farms?
Each wind farm has a slightly different plan, and the public can actually comment on those as well by looking through the PEIS and seeing their proposed actions. Each of those plans is referred to as a habitat conservation plan, and it varies a little bit by wind farm. Each of the wind farms have the deterrents listed in there somewhere, but it's a question of how quickly they become commercially available and when they're installed.
Okay. And anything then specific to Maui that you'd want to underscore, you know, or the Big Island?
So for Maui, there's actually two different wind farms. One is KWP2, or Kaheawa Wind Power 2. That's the one that most people see when they're flying in on the airplane. And then Oahu is over on Leeward Haleakala side. Both of those wind farms have take of multiple endangered species, but we're having the public meeting, and for the people on Maui that would be interested, it's a single public meeting for both of those wind farms. So we'd encourage people to come out, and we'd love to share more about what's in this document with them and get their perspective on what we've included in our analysis.
Anything unique to Maui?
Nothing unique to Maui, other than what we already talked about for Oahu.
Are the numbers larger in the request, in the applications?
No. So for the Oahu wind farm, it is going from their original incidental take permit was 21 bats, and they are increasing that to, let's see, they're increasing that to 140. And KWP2, which is the Kahiawa Wind Power 2, their original take of bats was 11, and they are proposing to increase it to 38.
Okay. And then what about the remaining wind farm?
So the remaining wind farm is on the island of Hawaii, and that wind farm never has been operational, I want to say, for over 15 years. And they did not know at the time that the wind farm was built, it was a repowering, they did not know that there was any endangered species that could be impacted by their actions, and so they never applied for nor received an incidental take permit. But since that time, they have had a couple of incidents of Hawaiian hoary bats in and around their wind farm, and because of that, we've been working with them on developing a plan now.
So were there no rules in place when they began operation?
There were rules in place, and we talked to them at that point, but there was no evidence that there was going to be endangered species that interacted with those turbines at that time. But because they have been doing monitoring, they did find that there were Hawaiian hoary bats in the area, and so now they're coming in with a plan for how to avoid, minimize, and mitigate those impacts.
Okay, interesting. So some of this just, I guess we're trying to do the best we can based on the information that's available.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's true throughout of all of our processes, is that we are using the best available information that we have available to us at the time. And especially when you're talking about Hawaiian hoary bats, that information has been growing. And so what we knew 6 years ago is very different than what we know right now. And we're trying to ensure that our analysis takes into account all of that new information.
Okay. All right. And then we'll put in the information about the comment period, I guess, which runs till June 10th. Is that right?
June 10th.
Yeah.
I'm just double checking with the comment period does go until June 10th. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else that you think would be important to underscore just to try and get people out to these meetings?
It is very important that the public understands that for these four wind farms are already constructed and operational. We're not talking about the construction of any new wind farms. And we have gotten some questions already about whether or not these are new proposed wind farms in the islands. And no, this process is not for that. This process is to deal with the four that are already operational and their endangered species impacts.
That was Michelle Bogardis, team manager for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Office, talking to us from Maui. For the full schedule of this week's meetings and links to the proposed EIS, go to hawaiipublicradio.org.